want to link up that text just read to these words from Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, where the Holy Writer writes, "You have left your first love." A little child loves his father, and I think he could say that he's his first love, and knows that he is completely dependent on him for everything, and believes that his father has an unlimited supply of money and resources, and so he's not afraid to ask. There's no fear in love. He's not afraid to ask because he knows that once in a while it pays off. He receives. And since the little child is completely dependent, there are no conditions to his asking. He doesn't think the way an adult thinks. Well, if we accept this invitation, if we accept this gift, then we'll have to invite these people in return or give them something in return. That's foreign to the thinking of a little child. He knows he doesn't have anything to give in return. And so he just asks, asks, asks. And then receives simply and joyfully and gladly. And then, "You have left your first love," might be explained by jumping ahead from the little child to the adolescent in our society. The adolescent wants independence from his parents, from God, from all authority. It's not what he needs, but it's what he demands in one way or another. Actually, in a sense, he really needs more dependence. It's what we all need, but by nature we really don't want. We fight both God and man to be free, to do what we want when we want, to rely on our own wisdom to carry the day, to make it against all odds, against all opposition in this world. We can take care of ourselves, that's the way we think. We know what's good for us and what isn't. You can be God, that's what we believe. Well, we've left our first love. We've eaten of the tree that's desired to make men wise. And so we no longer depend on God. We're our own God. And in all of that, we sin against the first commandment continually. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And we're determined to be our own God and to save ourselves. And beyond all that, we can't quit. In Matthew 18, our Lord said, "Except you be converted and become as little children." And when he says that, he's expressing a profound truth. Let me repeat what I said before. The little children possess nothing, and they need everything. They're completely dependent on the love of another to survive. And a simple cry brings relief. A great way to live. And I think our first parents, Adam and Eve, were something like that in the garden, like little children, gazing in wonderment and amazement at their father's storehouse. I'm certain they believed their father possessed an unlimited supply of everything. After all, he had entrusted them with the whole thing. What an investment of trust. You can be trusted with it all. It's all yours. And they certainly wouldn't be able to ask for anything that they couldn't receive, that he wouldn't give. He was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think. And in their simple love and trust, they could go about their daily activities. They were friends of the owner. He was their God. They were his children. Everything of his was theirs, himself included. What a way to live. And anything would be possible, wouldn't it, in a friendly world where it's all there for you, even God himself? But it's not that way anymore. Paul says to the Corinthians and to us, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtleties, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Eve was duped. She was cheated out of her simple, humble, childlike trust in Christ. The reading in 2 Chronicles indicates that there is an enemy. An enemy who is threatening everything that these people are and own. And they're terrified of him. And he's advancing on every front and they're powerless against him. They are absolutely without strength. Now then, what's happened to these people? Why are they now afraid? Well, it's easy. They've left their first love. And they're on their own. One theologian has said about Adam and Eve before the fall that they knew God loved them. They were certain of that after what he had given to them and after how he was toward them in terms of his love. And so they could go about their daily activities with joy in their heart and a song on their lips, knowing that. And that after the fall, they knew God didn't love them and so were frightened of the whole universe, which seemed against them. Even though he really did love them. And that's the darkness of unbelief. It's an awful way to live. It's a living death to rely on yourself alone, to be your own God, to be forced to save yourself in a hostile world, all of which seems to be marshaled against you, with no one in control. And incredibly, that's what men choose when left to themselves. It's a great way to live, they say. You gotta take care of old number one, because no one else will. Well, it's as if such people had lost their head. People like that who are ruled and controlled by this inordinate amount of self-love, who are curved in on themselves, will obviously have to have outside help to save them. They will have to have someone come and show them how to live again and how to love. Well, is there anyone who can show the way? Is there anyone who can restore them? Is there anyone who can bring them back? Well, listen to this love and trust of a son for his father in the face of the enemy's assault and temptation to love and trust self after not having eaten for 40 days. If you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. What a temptation for a poor man in a barren wilderness, starving, has had nothing to eat for 40 days. As if to say, you've got to take care of yourself because no one else will. And now then, listen to this response. It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. As if to say, the Father has promised to take care of everything. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to trust the Father. The Father has always taken care of his children as he has promised. I have been young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'll trust him. The Father has always supplied food in his own way, at his own time, at the right time, even if he has to cause and command the ravens to do it, or angels for that matter. He can be trusted. He can be trusted to provide. You can trust his word. He would not leave his first love for anything. And now this, listen to this. At the height of any man's temptation not to trust God, when he's faced with death, and he's innocent of any wrongdoing, and everybody else is guilty, and he's being punished for this, when he would have every reason to protest the injustice of it all, how unfair God is, the God who has abandoned him, does he falter? Not for a moment. He says, my God. My God. He is still his God. And with him, he obviously has everything, even though hanging there helpless, naked between heaven and earth, both of which seem to have forsaken him, he would seem to have nothing. As if to say, in the darkest of circumstances, Father, I need you. Father, I love you. Father, I trust you. He trusted his first love, that he would strengthen him, that he would help him, that he would deliver him. Psalm 22, which is a psalm of the Messiah on the cross, and begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In verse 4, it's the Messiah speaking and saying, our fathers trusted in you, Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel. Our fathers trusted in you, and they were delivered. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. I'm sure you'll do the same for me. He was like a child, completely dependent. But great love and trust. And now listen to this. Listen to him ask. Not for himself. It's as almost as if he's saying, Abba, Father. Father, Father, I will, he says. And that's an unconditional request. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father. Now here he is, an innocent man about to die, and he doesn't charge God with being unfair, but he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy love, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast been, you have been with me, will be in them, and I in them. He's praying for the restoration of that love which they had. He's praying for the restoration of people who have left their first love so that they could love again the way they did. This is the simple love of a child who believes beyond any doubt that the Father can and will hear and answer. And in this one, in his work, all of it for us, is the judgment of that enemy who threatens us, who threatens to really enslave us and ours and to extinguish all love and trust in God. In this one is death to the spirit who says, you can save yourself. You can be your own God. He did not leave his first love. In him neither do we. Now then, who wouldn't love a God like this, who has saved us from ourselves, from all of our enemies? He is now our first love. In this one is perfect love, which casts out all fear. There's no fear now. We're friends of the owner. Everything of his is ours. He's for us. The whole universe, if you will, is marshaled behind this God in our behalf. And if he's for us, the God of creation, the God of heaven and earth, if that one is for us, and he has obviously demonstrated beyond a shadow of possible doubt that he is, if he is for us, then who can be against us? And now, like little children, dear children, we can ask our dear Father for strength, for deliverance from every enemy. O our God, wilt thou not judge them, the enemy? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Like a little child hanging onto his father's hand, looking expectantly into his father's face for the response, and we can hear this word from him, don't be afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude of our enemies, the devil, his legions, the world, our flesh. Be not dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, confident in this, that he has already defeated all of our enemies and will, we can go about our daily tasks here now with joy in our hearts, with a song on our lips, to our classes, examinations, papers, and later on in the ministry. We can go about all of it with joy in our hearts and a song on our lips, knowing God loves us. May God continue. Give us faith and love like this always. For his son's sake, amen.